Lecture topic, Islam and the Media, Part 1.
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'gfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu falamudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu falahadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا قيل لهم ماذا أنزل ربكم قالوا أساطير الأولين ليحملوا أوزارهم كاملة يوم القيامة ومن أوزار الذين يضلونهم بغير علم ألا ساء ما يزرون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إن الدين بدأ غريب وسيعود كما بدأ فطوبى للغرباء وهم الذين يصلحون ما أفسد الناس من بعدي من سنتي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, perhaps in two sentences to condense or summarize the challenges and the tragedies that stare at the Muslim Ummah on the global level in essence entails. One is the anti-Islamic sentiment which is being broadcasted, transmitted and highlighted via the Western media. That is the first angle. And let me say at the very beginning, it would be rather naive on our part to accept any pro statements coming across from them. Never mind something pro, it would be rather naive to even expect them to present an unbiased opinion about Islam. If we will have that correct understanding, we will not become emotional when we hear anti-Islamic sentiments. And what is the object of the media via this particular pattern? Harping on anti-Islamic sentiments that Muslims harbor terrorists, they are aggressive, they are not sociable, they are oppressive towards the women. If I may understand it correctly, Allah guide me, then they have two agendas behind this. One is to demoralize the Muslim. The Muslim that has this iman in relation to this propaganda that is constantly taking place, that a Muslim starts becoming apologetic about his faith. Because constantly the media is harping that you are so aggressive, you are so oppressive. If any tragedy happens anywhere in the world, the next day, every Muslim, from the most small child to the most senior Muslim, the disbelievers will frown upon the Muslim. Seeing what your brother did here. Why, when will you people stop doing this? When will you people stop doing that? So the object behind this is to demoralize the Muslim and to make the Muslims suffer an identity crisis. And if they have succeeded, then this is the agenda behind the whole thing. Constantly you will see this happens. The stereotype mentality that has been promoted. I give you a typical explanation of a personal incident that I had recently. I was flying back from Holland and I had to perform few salah on the plane. So I went at the back, put my musalla down, and I asked one of the cabin crew, could you be kind enough to just ask the pilot the direction of Makkah is? I need to pray. So she blatantly says no. I said, what do you mean by saying no? I'm a frequent traveler and I will take up this with the relevant authorities. She says, sorry sir, can you repeat your question? I said, I need to pray. I'm just asking if it's possible for you to be kind enough to speak to the pilot. I need the direction of Makkah. My apologies, I thought you said I must tell the pilot to fly to Makkah. Now, do I consider this woman to be innocent in relation to the propaganda? Or do I say she is so gullible that she falls prey to this? But she isn't left with any other option other than seeing someone in this garb and feeling something negative and feeling a threat from him. I told her, you know what, if that was my intention, I wouldn't have been so polite. I mean, if I needed that, I would have come across much more aggressive than what I'm telling you. Now, let us ask ourselves, this is the identity crisis. Ask the child, I was speaking to the other child in the madrasa the other day, and they told me, no, in Ramadan I was wearing the scarf. So I said, oh, okay, so that means there isn't a problem with the school. He says, no, the school doesn't mind. So then I asked him, why don't you continue wearing the scarf after Ramadan? This is the thing, and ask yourself, perhaps I come across crude, forgive me if it is crude. Ask your daughter and your son that is studying in any institution, if he or she is feeling shy of being a Muslim, then I swear by Allah, the harm is greater than the benefit, regardless of what degree he comes out with. And then ask yourself, if it's not feeling shy, then what is the other reason why I'm not dressing in an Islamic garb? What is the other reason other than the fear of being victimized or identified in relation to what the media is portraying Islam to be? So this is the first area, but this is not the major area of concern. The second area on which the Muslims are not focusing, which is an area of greater concern, and that is the incorrect Islamic image which is being reflected by the so-called Muslim. That is much more harmful than the first one. The first one existed from the beginning of time. The second one has surfaced in recent decades and centuries. You and I can take a public platform and say Muslims are not like that, but then there's no conformity in our actions and our statements. The first one, of course, today they have mass media. And at one given moment, that message can be transmitted to thousands, millions and billions across the globe. And the object of that is to demoralize you. So you sit there, you see what is happening in Iraq or any other part of the world, you see the atrocities, you realize your feebleness, and despondency grips into the ummah. When you look into the lives of Sahaba, this was not the spirit of Sahaba. One woman walks into a Yahudi bazaar from the tribe of Banu Qaynuqa, Muslim woman, veiled totally. She goes to sell milk. While she sits down, a Yahudi youngster comes and he ties the robe with a string. She is unaware of this. When the sister stands up, he pulls the entire robe and her body is unveiled and she becomes the victim of the most indecent laughter. A Sahabi had to just pass by. It was enough for him. He didn't ask questions. He advanced. He struck the man there and there till he was dead. On the contrary, you and I sit and see what happens. And then again, how can you believe what the kuffar are saying regarding the Muslims? One Jamaat said it very beautifully. You want to know the statistics of the Muslims, you ask the Jamaat that is knocking the doors of the Muslims. So the condition of the American Muslims is what the Jamaat will tell us and not what the American press tells us. They will tell, they are our enemies, they will tell us what they want us to tell us. How can we believe their opinion regarding us? Hence, up until today, we are not apologetic about the happenings of the 9/11 because till today you haven't convinced us we have perpetrated it. The weapons of mass disappearance, as they say. Till today you haven't convinced us. Why must we apologize? Somebody comes and breaks the window, you say, Maulana, I want a statement from you. What statement must I give? I'm not part of it, I don't condone it, I have nothing to do with it. Why are you constantly harping on this? And this is the message. To echo the psychological, defeat to the ummah. Allah speaks about one form of torment which will come upon the kafir just in relation to scoffing and laughing and mocking at the Muslims. Besides Jahannam, besides its severity, besides disbelief, besides violation, there is one exclusive punishment which will be given to every disbeliever on the day of Qiyamah because of laughing at the Muslims. How does the Quran say? وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. What I want to conscientize the people today in my humble talk is that constantly today the Muslims are saying the media is contrary, the media is anti. All I need you to understand today is this anti-Islamic sentiment started from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is not the major area of concern. Undoubtedly today technology is such that it can be transmitted to billions at the same time. But on a small scale, this happened in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what was the approach of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to silence them? Allah says, whenever the believers passed by, they used to make eyes to one another signal. And what were their comments? Ha ula ila balloon. Here goes the extreme people. Here goes the deviated people. Then the Quran says so beautifully, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. Allah draws Qiyamah so close in this ayah. Allah doesn't say tomorrow, Allah doesn't say afterwards, Allah doesn't say on the day of Qiyamah. Allah says today, in this verse Allah refers to Qiyamah as today, that, oh believers, bear it patiently and embrace that criticism today. It's like, you know, you're telling a child, now is iftar, my son, now. He says, but now, how do you make him understand how little time is? In relation to the time that has passed, what is left is little. But of course, this is for those believers who resist the criticism and reflect Islam and don't blend in with the masses. Those that do not blend in and suffer, for them is this reward. Allah says, فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون. Today the believers in the Malik in Muqtadir will sit on my throne next to me, Allah says. They will sit it by my side and then glance at the kuffar and laugh at them, a permanent laugh, an unending laugh. This is what the Quran says. فَاتَّخَلْتُمُوهُمْ سِخْرِيًا. Allah will tell the kuffar, I don't want to listen to anything. You mocked at the believers? How sad, brothers. On the contrary, you see in our hostile climate, when so-called Muslims come onto public platforms to clear the air, then those that come on, unfortunately, Allah give hidayah to one and all, they are a greater disgrace to the Muslims than the kuffar themselves. Hence, I always say, the Muslims suffered more at the hands of their own Muslims than they suffered at the hands of the disbelievers. Let one youngster come up and say, you know what, I have a problem. Or let one father in the school say, you know what, my child cannot attend these classes. Immediately it said, well, the other Muslims don't have a problem. The other Muslims don't have a problem. Where do you turn, O Muslim, in this moment, when those that are yours desert you, where do you turn? So this is the first aspect, and that is the anti-Islamic sentiment. The verses I recited in the beginning, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ. The kuffar who were convinced beyond doubt on the integrity, the impeccable character, the outstanding sublime character of Nabi alayhi salam, who by their own choice opted for giving the Nabi of Allah the titles As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, the most honest, the most truthful. Yet when they journeyed beyond the borders of Arabia and people interacted with them and said, you know this man Muhammad in Islam, what's your take on his teachings? قَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. What propaganda? They said, no, no, this is the most evil man. Yet in their hearts they said, he is the most honest. What I'm saying, this happened in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah goes on to say, لِيَحْمِلُوا أَوْزَارَهُمْ كَامِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, they will suffer the sin of disbelief, and furthermore, they will suffer an added sin for becoming an obstacle to truth. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ زِدْنَاهُمْ عَذَابًا فَوْقَ الْعَذَابِ. For them is a double punishment. ثُمَّ لَنَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شِيعَةٍ أَيُّهُمْ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنِ عِتِيًّا. So Allah says for them is a most severe punishment. Those that avoided the truth and became obstacles to the truth. You look into the incident of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's letter. You know, and then when you see the current measures that the Western Media Institute to demoralize the Muslims and to make them apologetic about their faith. Again, this has its roots in the beginning of Islam. One of the measures is the derogatory remarks constantly they make. And you will find they're not stable on their comments. At times the vocabulary is around terrorism. Sometimes it switches to fundamentalism. Sometimes it switches to extremism. And perhaps we will have to redefine. In present day climate, we will have to redefine the terminology of fundamentalists. It refers to, in my understanding, in the political climate in which we live, it refers to resistance against American aggression. That is termed as terrorism. But nonetheless, again, you look into the time. At that time, of course, the vocabulary was different, so they gave the Nabi of Allah the most nasty titles of that time. What did they say? بَلْ افْتَرَاهُ. He is a fabricator. بَلْ هُوَ شَاعِرْ. Nay, he is a poet. بَلْ هُوَ كَاذِبْ. Nay, he is a liar. Then people said, well, you're saying he's a liar. Why are people flocking towards his faith? People won't flock towards a madman. So they said, no, no, he's a magician. He casts people, he casts them on a spell. And that is the effect of it. Every nasty title, Abu Tufail Amr Dawsi, he says, before me coming to Makkah, people poisoned me against Muhammad so much, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most evil man. They told me, don't ever come near him, don't listen to him, he's the most wicked man. So this, today they have the media, it happened at that time also. He says, I was convinced so much that this man was evil. حَتَّى حَشَوْتُ فِي أُذُنِي قُطْنَا. I had to come to Mecca for some work. I took cotton wool and I stuffed it in my ears. I said, I don't want to get close to this man. People have warned me and cautioned me. He says, but Allah was kind. Allah made me walk in that place where the Nabi of Allah was reading Quran. With cotton wool stuffed in my ears, I walked past and then these verses fell into my ears. I said, no, no, man, this is something else. And we see this here in the midst of the hostility also. There are those voices of truth which indeed are marginal at this stage. But you will see gradually how Allah takes it to strength. Hazrat Dhimad radiallahu anhu says, when I came to Makkah, people said, this man Muhammad is so evil. Don't even come near to him. So he said, people convinced me on how evil Nabi alayhi salam was that I said, you know what, I'm a doctor. He's to treat people suffering from sicknesses. Let me go, perhaps I can cure the man. So he says, I came to Nabi alayhi salam and I said, you know what, I believe you're insane and you're mental and you're retarded. Direct comments coming on the Nabi of Allah. And today's Muslim, today's sister, you are told you look like ninja or you look like this and you throw that scarf away. My sister, I don't know. If you suffer an identity crisis, in my humble understanding, that is gradually iman dwindling away from you. Imagine the father ages and now he's got a sickness. And perhaps at times he passes when it gives off an unpleasant smell. And because of that, the child starts drifting away from the father. And he says, no, I can't come here. People are going to laugh at me. What pain will cross the heart of that father for that child? I washed your filth with your hands. And now today, because I'm looking old and aged and I'm not prominent, I'm proper. This is how you shun me. Allah says, at this time when the world condemns you, so you get rid of your beard and you throw it, let it not be that I get rid of the iman in you. أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. Show me the slightest disinclination and I'll take my iman. This is the words of Allah. It gives me a shiver. Till today when I read this ayat, it makes me cry. The independence of Allah. So what happens? He says, I came to Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam didn't comment anything. He just said, Alhamdulillah, Ahmaduhu, wa astaeenuhu, wa astaghfiruhu. Man yahdihillah, fala mudillala, wa man yudlil, fala hadiyala. I don't know Arabic, you don't understand Arabic. What can we appreciate? He says, when I heard these words, I said, لَقَدْ جَمَعْنَا قَامُوسَ الْبَحْرِ. You know what? I have heard eloquent people speak. This man is speaking something else. In fact, I am convinced you not the sick man. I am the sick man. Treat me. He puts his hand, he accepts Islam. He says, you know what? I'm convinced this is propaganda. I need my whole nation to accept Islam. Nabi alayhi salam says, take my message to them and they will accept it. So what I'm saying is, anti-Islamic sentiments, this is from the beginning of time. The area of concern is the incorrect Islamic image that today you and I are reflecting. And we are becoming obstacles to the truth. The media is our enemies. When they are not there to present the truth, they are giving an unbiased opinion. They're going to thrive on our weaknesses. And they're doing it. Now again, we are giving them deliberate grounds to exploit. You look at the current day media, listen to the newspaper, read the newspapers. Who's featuring when it comes to fraud and theft? Who's featuring when it comes to evil and vice? Who's giving them grounds when it comes to corn, when it comes to theft? Are we not giving them platforms? They are our enemies. It's naive for us to expect anything good from them. They'll make a mountain out of an ant hole. Let me give you a beautiful explanation. In Bukhari Sharif, the very second page, when Nabi alayhi salam wrote a letter to Hiraqal, the beautiful letters of Nabi alayhi salam, and he entrusted it with Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu, and the sahabi took the letter to the emperor of Rome, who enjoyed a very vast kingdom at that time, whose dominion stretched from the west to the east, including Egypt, Syria, Turkey, etc. He was returning from Persia, where he was victorious, and he had recaptured the cross. At that moment in Syria, the envoy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with him and said, you know what, I have this letter from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he presents the letter to the king. The king, the emperor says, okay, is there anybody from Makkah here who knows this man? I need to ask few questions with regards to the integrity of the Muslims. So it was told that yes, Abu Sufyan in a caravan has come and you can perhaps have a dialogue. Bukhari Sharif, second page. Very beautiful dialogue outlining the beauty of Islam. He calls Abu Sufyan. He tells the translator that you tell this man, he claims to be the closest to Muhammad. And remember, Abu Sufyan at that time is not a Muslim. A non-Muslim giving a rundown on Islam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He tells Abu Sufyan, you sit in front. And he tells the fellow members of Abu Sufyan, you sit behind him. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِتَرْجُمَانِهِ. He tells the translator, إِنِّي سَائِلٌ هَذَا عَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. You must tell this Abu Sufyan, you must tell all the people at the back, that I'm going to ask your leader regarding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I will not understand because he's in a translated version. If he utters the truth, they must affirm what he says through the gesture of their face. And if he lies, they must belie and they must immediately react emotionally that he's speaking a lie. Abu Sufyan at that stage says, وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَ الْحَيَا وَاللَّهِ لَوْلَ الْحَيَا مِنْ أَنْ يَأْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ كَذِبًا لَكَذِبْتُ عَنْهُ. I swear by Allah, if it wasn't for the fear of being tarnished as a liar, that was one moment in my life I desired to blatantly lie against Muhammad. So that this man is not impressed with Islam. Nonetheless, he started the questions. كَيْفَ نَسَبُهُ فِيكُمْ. Tell me this man who has laid claim to prophethood, what can you say about his lineage? He comes from a noble lineage. What is his background? What is his ancestry? He says, هُوَ فِينَا ذُو نَسَبٍ. Undoubtedly, Muhammad enjoys the privilege of a very high lineage. Nabi alayhi salam belongs to the Arab, the Quraysh, the Hashim, the Sayyid, etc. First question. Second question. هَلْ قَالَ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ أَحَدْ مِنْكُمْ Did anyone lay claim to prophethood prior to him? He says, no, nobody has laid claim to prophethood before him. Third question. هَلْ كَانَ مِنْ عَبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلَكٍ Was there any king in his ancestry prior to this man, Muhammad? Was there any king that was there in his ancestry? He says, no, to the best of my knowledge, he's born in a poor family. He's an orphan. There was no king in his ancestry. Next question. هَلْ يَرْتَدُّ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ سُخْتَةً لِدِينِهِ After anybody has accepted this faith, did anybody abandon it? Somebody became a Muslim, do they become renegade? He says, no, nobody has become renegade. أَشْرَافُ النَّاسِ اِتَّبَعُوهُ أَمْ ذُعَفَاؤُهُمْ Tell me, when you look into his followers, is it more the materially high-profiled people or is it humble, simple people? Who formed the greater part of his followers? Now you find that particular question is always the basis of falsehood. When you look at the invitation of falsehood, it's always materialism. And if you look at the current day so-called Muslim leaders, you know, it would be a lie to call them Muslim leaders. The so-called Muslim leaders, again, they have fallen prey to the temptation of this materialism. How many Muslims alter their viewpoint when they tempted? With one of those options, the Nabi of Allah was given everything to the highest level. And what are these Muslim leaders told after they enjoy that comfort zone? Now you agree to our tune, you condone our invasions, you suppress the extremist elements within your community, and if you do not toe the line, we withdraw all your advantages. So immediately when a person is sitting in that hot, comfortable spot, naturally that is priority to him. They came to the Nabi of Allah, and what din they offer to him? إِن كُنْتَ إِنَّمَا تُرِيدُ بِمَا جِئْتَ مِنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مَالًا جَمَعْنَا لَكَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا حَتَّى تَكُونَ أَغْنَى قُرَيْشٍ مَالًا Let me put this open to you. Some of us are those that are falling prey. Alhamdulillah, a lot of youngsters have been coming to me now. And I use this platform to once again advocate this. Yesterday a youngster came to me. Malana, I got a top offer. One of our youngsters, ya Allah give him jazai khair. I got an offer in a bank where my salary will be multiplied, if not more. What is your opinion, given the fact it is an interest-based institution? 2 months ago, another youngster came. He said, I was offered a very wonderful salary, but I decided I will consult with you. I told him, it's a no-go place. It's a no-go. It's not for you as a Muslim. You know, somewhere or the other, you're involved in interest. May Allah reward both of them. They respected my humble advice. I made so much dua for them, and you will see what happiness comes in that life. So gradually, we will see. You will see the barakat. Nonetheless, you find how many people fall in prey to the temptation of wealth. Oh Muhammad, if your desire is wealth, we give you all the money. First temptation. Second one, honor, position. How many people change their viewpoint when they are given a platform? They become flexible. They now find concession. In kunta innama turidu bihi sharafan sawwadnaka alayk. You're looking for power, we make you our leader. You decide, your decision is final. The third one, every one of us are weak and feeble. Allah save one and all. In kana innama bikal ba'a. If the crave is of woman, فَاخْتَرْ أَيَّ نِسَاءِ قُرَيْشٍ شِئْتَ فَلْنُزَوِّجْكَ عَشْرًا You select the most beautiful woman, we wed every one of them to you. The Nabi of Allah says, are you over? Now listen to my message. حَامِيم تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ So what was the question? My question is, أَيَزِيدُونَ The people that follow him, are they weak people or strong? He says, no, generally it is the weaker people. Next question, أَيَزِيدُونَ أَمْ يَنْقُسُونَ Tell me, are the numbers of the Muslim increasing or decreasing? So Abu Sufyan say, I must admit, regardless of all the hostility, the numbers are only at an increase. The numbers are only, and we can relate to these sentiments today also. In the midst of all the hostility, we find that alhamdulillah, the numbers are increasing. And this will happen, this is the pattern of Allah. We haven't understood Quran and Hadith, so we become emotional. We listen to one statement and we say, but doesn't this just justify his immediate destruction? You know, when you see Quran, you will find the grace that Allah gave to the tyrant rulers in the previous times. The statements of the current people today is very minimal in relation to what the previous have claimed. The next question, Hal Yakdib, does this man speak a lie? Now imagine if somebody comes and asks you, tell me the Muslims, do they lie? They weren't supposed to lie. But, hey, you know what? I can't really speak on that one. Tell me, does this man lie? He says, you know what? I must be honest with you. He doesn't ever speak a lie. So that, what does the kinker turn around and say? Well, now that you've told me he never lies. Now, this is what I'm saying. We will silence the world with the truth and not taking public platforms. That is not our platform. That is not our way. We will never succeed. We can stand up and say we're not a prejudiced society. We're not biased in our relation. But how many reverts can stand up and belie us? I say, I attend their mosque. They only associate with people of their own color. What answer do we have to the world? What character do we have when my domestic servant under my employment for 20 years seen me fasting, seen me getting up, seen me sleeping, but never one day asked me, boss, what is this that you are doing? 20 years and it never intrigued her. And a kafir says, I entered Masjid an-Nabawi. I was tied to that pillar. The day I entered, I hated Muhammad the most. The third morning, I loved Muhammad the most. 3 days and there was a total reformation. It's time we reflect the correct Islamic image. We stop suffering an identity crisis. We embrace the faith. Why must we say, I'm sorry, my woman are veiled. Why am I sorry? I'm sorry, I need to pray. Why am I sorry, I need to pray? What's wrong about that? When you're apologizing about your faith, you're showing Allah you suffer a complex. Nevertheless, we can explore this topic much more. He says, now look at the far-reaching effects of the honesty. He says, you told me this man doesn't speak a lie. That is enough. That is enough for me. It doesn't make sense that he doesn't lie amongst you and he must lie against Allah. It doesn't make sense to me. You say he never lies. If he's honest in his words, he won't take the trouble to invent a lie against the Creator. I am convinced this man has spoken the truth. He says, لَتَجَشَّمْتُ لِقَاءَهُ. If I get an opportunity, I will make all means to reach this man. And if I'm sitting by him, the emperor of Rome said, لَغَسَلْتُ عَنْ قَدَمَيْهِ. I will wash his feet. Abu Sufyan said, لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَ حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. You know, we in Mecca, we opposing his message. But this Muhammad's message is traveling very far. Even the emperors feel a shiver in their back when they hear the message of Muhammad. Then he asked the next question. You know, propaganda. What is propaganda? What that will happen? He is not yours. What do you expect from him to say good about you? And let me tell you, whenever they utter something pro also, it is blended with a political agenda. Don't jump and latch onto that statement like fools. You heard what the king said. You heard what the that is blended with a political agenda. I remember the late Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahimahumullah, Allah fill his grave with Noor. I don't wish to make mention of the name of that kafir who we all know. What did he say? Islam is the best religion and the Muslims are the worst. He said, I swear by Allah, he is a liar. When he said Islam is the best religion, everybody put focus on him. That was the only reason for that statement. Otherwise, if he was convinced, why didn't he embrace Islam? So whenever they say a good statement, it's blended with a political agenda. He says, I asked Abu Sufyan, tell me, does this man deceive? Does this man deceive? Abu Sufyan said, this was the one opportunity. I said, let me strike. Strike while the iron is hot. Let me now infiltrate. The truth was to say Muhammad never deceived because I knew him for the last 20 years of my life from the day he was born. But I said, this is some place where I can infiltrate. So I said, you know what? He hasn't yet deceived. I don't know what the future holds. He hasn't yet deceived. Now what I'm saying, this happened from the beginning of time. That's not an area of concern. He hasn't yet deceived. I mean, if somebody asks you, you know what, this brother here, you know him, he's proposed. If you know him for 20 years, you say, you know what, up until now I know him, I don't know the future. 20 years, that's his life. If you know the man for 6 months, maybe you can say, you know what, my interaction with him is good, but I don't know anything more than that. I said, let me strike. I said, you know what, he hasn't deceived, but I don't know what the future holds. And that is another whole aspect, that is, he was making reference to the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. We will continue with this topic. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He give us the ability, like I always say, we don't have to polish Islam. It has its natural beauty. Just remove the contamination that he has put. On the contrary, today my brother is such, he's greeting a strange woman. So you ask him why? No, I don't want the sister to feel we are not sociable. They mustn't get a wrong picture of Islam. You know, we're very sociable people. Any act of violation will only cause harm. And the ripple effects of that will be across the ummah. If that is how you show her the beauty of Islam, that is your social conduct. Drop your gaze and she'll honor you for your principle. What a modest man. My hat off for this man. I told you of that Jamaat. That man was lying in the clinic. He was on his deathbed. The nurse came to treat him. When it was time to be discharged, he said, you know what? Please, I want to accept your faith. So the patient asked why. She says, I've been working in this clinic for the last 10 years. Every time a patient was hospitalized, he cast dirty glances on me. But your modesty has captured me. I don't know, have you been cured or have I been cured? Take me to this faith. So this is the truth. In conclusion, brothers, let me end by saying, If we cannot become ambassadors of truth, let us not become obstacles to truth. Let it not be at any moment my character gives off a wrong image of Islam. How many people will say, no, these are kafir, you must knock them in business. No, that is not the way you deal. See how the Nabi of Allah dealt with the kuffar. See how honest it is. See the ripple effects of your action. May Allah save us from soiling the name of the Muslim, from blemishing the character of Islam, from tarnishing the reputations of the Muslim. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.